World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I'm dressed in my red today. I don't know why. Red looked kind of bright in my wardrobe room this morning. Thanks for being here. I was just saying in the pre-show, for those of you who don't know, who are watching, maybe watching a lot of different platforms, we have a pre-show and a post-show. And the pre-show and the post-show are open forums. Like if you log on at, I've said this 1,000 times, but I get emails, people ask me, how do I get in the queue? Well, the only way that you can get in the queue and participate in the queue is to go to Coach Dave Live every morning and click on Join the Queue. And then you can interact, you can ask questions, you can raise your hand, we get you in on the show. And a lot of people out there that are watching, they're not watching it at a Coach Dave Live. That's okay. They don't have to watch it at Coach Dave Live. They're watching it at Rumble. It's just a lot of different places. But this is, if you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. In fact, somebody said to me the other day, Coach, you need to do a day where regular people have to shut their mouth and let new people in. So what? Yeah, let some new people in. You get to, it's kind of intimidating sitting out here. It's always the same people coming in and saying what's going on. And I'm not trying to push down anybody who wants to get in and say what's going on. I'm thinking Craig, the stuff Craig brings, the stuff Randy brings, and the stuff that Mark Trump brings and stuff. It's all good. But there's some of you out there that may have some really, really good perspectives. See, that's my point about church. One of the reasons I don't like to go to church, because church isn't interactive. You go to church and the guy stands up in front of him and he tells you everything. You never get to ask questions. You never get to raise your hand and say, pardon me, what about this? Where'd you hear that? You don't get to do that. It's a monologue. It's not dialogue. I'm going to say it again because it went right over your head. It's a monologue, not a dialogue. And here at Coach Dave Live, we like it to be a dialogue. But some of you, I don't know whether it's a confidence issue. I don't know whether you didn't know. We'd love to hear. Folks, throw the meat on the ground. Let's chew it up. Throw it on the table. Let's cut it up and bite it up and figure out where it is at the end of the day. Rather than just saying the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, the Bible says it and you believe it, but that doesn't settle it because I know somebody else has got a different perspective on that. And the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. That's what I love about this, and it keeps me on my toes, because I know if I pull up something that ain't true, somebody out there is going to zap me. I'm going to get zapped. So I open myself up to being zapped. I've been up over an hour, an hour and a half, actually. Been up an hour and a half. I've been doing research. I've been, every day when I do this show, Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want? And it's amazing. It's amazing the stuff that he pops in into it. And then I struggle with this because we got so many things going on. I'm going to tell you this right now. We got way more stuff going on than the average church. Then again, that would be a boom. If I began to line up all the activities, all the things that people were going, it ain't going on like that in any church that I know. Because churches have become come and listen. Not come, listen, and go. Come and listen. And we try to not be like that here. And, you know, for all those out there who are calling us a cult or telling you to say, you better quit listening to that guy. That's a cult. Well, you know it's not. You know it's not. And many of you have deepened your faith. Your faith is deeper today than it's ever been. Because why? Well, because we poked the bones. We got the meat off the bones. We weren't afraid to chew on it and cast it aside, say that tastes good and that doesn't taste good. And I don't know about that. I don't know if I like that. And if you go to the same church every Sunday, you ain't getting that. You're getting one perspective. And I'm not against local churches. I'm just telling you. You go to a local church, talking to me now, I get the pastor's perspective. I don't get the whole picture. You with me? Yeah, I know you guys are with me. I got some really good stuff I'm going to get into today. Don't go away. In fact, it'd be a good time to text somebody and tell them, tune in. Coach Dave's going to be good today. Got a couple things I want to cover. Joe Allen's got his hand up here. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I get asked all the time, what church do I go to? I said, go 5 days a week and communion on Friday.
Amen. It's a fellowship. It's not church. It's a fellowship. I get it, though, Joe. I appreciate it. Hey, I've got to throw this out right at the top. Excuse me. I make notes to myself. I look over here, folks. I make notes to myself on the show. So if I'm looking away from it, it's not big. We got to keep staking. Look, we have got to keep staking. We got to keep doing it even more. And I'm going to try to maybe dive into that a little bit here today because we are having an impact. Folks, we are having an impact that we don't even understand. And I'm going to try to get into that a little bit here today. But before I do, I got to kick myself. Got to do it. Folks, we got a lot of stuff going on. This is a clearinghouse. This is kind of, this is where people let you know what's going on. And Mel's got another action going on. She wants to jump in here real quick and tell us about that action. Then I got another one I got to talk about. Go ahead, Mel.
Hey, thanks, Coach. So if you go to events, please, Spencer, thank you. So it's the Ecclesia Bible Study. We missed last week because I was out of town, but we've got the third part of the Ecclesia Bible Study. If you could click on that, Spencer. You know, we're a called out assembly, and, you know, Coach was talking about having a dialogue, and we really, you know, we're diving right into the book of Revelations, books 1-3. Chapters 1-3, and we're having a blast. So, you know, sorry we missed last week, but, you know, the Zoom link is right there if anybody wants to join us. You know, we just keep plugging away, and we do not all have the same opinion, which makes for really rich and great discussion. So thank you, Coach, and I hope to see a lot of you on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern
Thanks,
time.
Thanks for doing it. Folks, I can't stay up. Look, I got a lot going on myself, my life. Pulling weeds. I can't even tell you all we got going on. And here's what I want to do more than anything. I want to empower you to do what the Lord's called you to do. I don't want to control it. I don't want it to be my idea. I don't want to do that. I want somebody to be the stake champion. Who's going to do the stake? Who's in charge of the stake? Somebody pick that up and run with that. We're so used to top down church. Down the pulpit says it, and we do it. Here's what I'd like. I'd like the person in the pew say, why don't we do this? And then I can say, yeah, that's a great idea. Get it organized. Let's do this. I want more. We need more of that, friends. We need more. Look, most churches, with the exception of Mercy Ministries, most churches have never done anything outside the church. Vinny, that would be a boom. Have never done anything outside the church. See, we call it a body of Christ, and it's a collective when we come together on Sunday, but then we live the rest of our lives individual Christianity. And it's important because individual Christianity doesn't matter. But for the salt of the earth and the light of the world, there ought to be something there. Okay, hang on. Pull up the email about Hodassah. WAC, yeah, folks. We'll give you a couple options. I don't know if you guys know Hadassah and Harry. They're in. They've been to a couple of our events, our yearly events. They're in Wisconsin, and having physical issues to the point where Hadassah needs a lift. If you scroll down, Spencer, maybe there's Hadassah. Some of you say, "Oh yeah, I remember her." She needs a lift. She needs this thing to be able to get up into her house. The cost is like $3,000 with the installation. This is from Rob Pugh, by the way, And so we're committing here, your committee, Pass the Salt. I'm going to drop a check for $1,000 into them today, but I'm counting on you. I'm going to send $1,000. And if you want to do more than that, scroll back down there, Spence. You can hand it. You can get it right to them all the way down. All the way down. There you go. You can mail it to them. You want to mail them a check and send them a card? Right there it is. Harry and Hadassah Wilkinson. There's their address. $3,000. She cannot get around. These are sweethearts. All right? I've learned this in my own life. When I first started going to church, that's not true. When I first got saved, I was going to the church. And they start talking about tithing. Can I tell you this? I don't believe in tithing. I believe in giving. I don't believe in legalistic tithing. Okay? I don't believe in it. I believe in exceedingly abundantly above that, actually. And see, there's a difference between, relax, I'm not going to try to pick your pocket. I'm trying to set you free. There's a difference between giving out of duty, tithing, and giving out of charity, out of your heart. Those are not the same. And the Bible says, given and shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And a lot of you, I had a really hard time in my early walk giving. We started out tithing. Tithing kind of trained us. I don't know how I got on this, but let me ride the horse a second. Tithing trained us every day that every time we would go to church, we would write 10% of our money to the church. Man, oh man, are you kidding me? That was probably our biggest bill, 10%. Probably was. But it trained us to give. Now, here's where I am with giving. If you want to support your local church, God bless you. God bless you. But friends, you're missing great opportunities if you're not giving outside of duty. If all you're giving is just tithe, it's just duty. It's like paying paying your dues, your monthly dues. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to pay my monthly dues. I'm not trying to get your money, okay? But it would be marvelous for some of you out there who are struggling with money. Of course, we know how that works. Why? Because give and it shall be given. Given and shall be given. It's really nice for some of you to send a personal check to Harry and Hadassah. We love you. We're praying for you. God bless you. Because it unlocks something, folks. It unlocks something. And can I tell you right now, some of you are nervous because you don't like people asking you for money. But you don't bitch if you go to McDonald's. You don't gripe and moan if you go to Wendy's. You don't gripe and moan if you go out to eat. So part of giving is getting over the selfishness inside of us. We all fight that. I'm going to shut up about that, okay? I'm going to shut up about it. There's Harry and Hadassah. Thank you, Rob Pugh, for doing what you can to try to help them. We have an obligation. We are sending $1,000 to Harry and Hadassah, $3,000 to help her get up her steps. We're going to do that. Now, here's the other thing. Do I have to say it? Spencer, do I have to say it? Do I have to say it? Okay, I'll say it. Bible says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. There might be meat in my house. Meat. Meat means what? Something to eat, right? And pick up your toes. We get requests all the time from people who need assistance. And they ain't never given a dime here. Can I say that again, Vinny? People asking for help who have never given a dime. And I don't go back and check the files. I don't check the files and see who's given and who hasn't given. But that's one of the first things that comes to my mind when somebody needs assistance. You know, the first thing is, have they helped anybody else? Have they helped anybody else? Just throw that one out there for you, okay? I want to get into it. Does anybody want to argue with me or bark at me or gripe at me? I haven't checked my list. That's just kind of where I am with it. Kind of in, huh? I mailed out a hat yesterday. Just this important for you guys to understand. You know, $25 I think, Spencer. $25. You know, yesterday I mailed out a hat. Somebody requested a hat, or they gave $25 and sent them a hat. And it was $9 yesterday to mail this. What is going on in the postal system? $9.63 to mail a hat. Golly. Mary Beth, come on in real quick. $9.63 to mail a hat. Mail a hat. I remember when a stamp was a penny. You might remember that other than me. Nah, what? What? I said, wait a minute, help me out here. I wrapped it up. I did everything. I'm handing it to you, and you're going to put it on a box, and then you're going to drive it someplace, and you're going to give it to them. Somebody's going to take it off. $9? $9. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
I forgot what I was going to say, but I retired from USPS, and people are going to start going to UPS. I mean, it's gotten bad. It has gotten bad. But I forgot what I was going to say on the original.
We're overtaxed. That's a whole different one. I'm not going to ride that horse today, okay? Let me pull this up because you all be glad to see this. Oh, and Coach, let's go back to the beginning. Pull up number one. We need some class action lawsuits out there. Yeah, class action lawsuits. Scratching my head. Bear with me. Class action lawsuits. Fauci, Democrats, deep state hid all of the facts on ivermectin, killing hundreds of thousands, not one arrest yet, and it is beyond a shadow of a doubt. Play this. It's 1 minute long. 1 minute and 40 seconds long on ivermectin. They wouldn't let you have it. It was horse paste. They made fun of you. They wouldn't let you have it. Play it.
We now know ivermectin would have cured COVID in very ill people. Yeah. It's been a number of studies which are positive, yet Fauci went on and lied and said it was toxic and dangerous horse only. And I think that probably led to hundreds of thousands of deaths because everybody I've talked to who used it, nobody has had a death from it. Mm. And I myself used it on two patients who were really really ill after they'd had everything else but didn't want to go to hospital, and they responded to it. So I know from personal experience it works. So the same government wouldn't let you have that, that won't let you have this. So why won't they let you have things that we know are very simple, safe, and effective? I mean, ivermectin is unbelievably low toxicity.
It's one of the world's safest drugs, isn't it, really? It's safer than ibuprofen or paracetamol or acetaminophen.
Far safer. Yeah. I mean, it's given to millions of people around the world and saves the lives, not only lives, but the eyesight. It's said to save 2 million people a year from going blind from the filaria.
Yeah. And yet has antiviral properties.
Does the average doctor know that ivermectin's good? Do they, Paul?
Well, remember, Campbell's a nurse. He's not actually a doctor. He's a nursing doctor. And when it all first started, I watched him. He's a brilliant guy. He analyzes a literature. And what he learned in all this is that 70% of the literature out there, medical literature, is absolutely biased to the people that are putting it on. And so ivermectin's cheap. If they had done any kind of research, and they have, you would have found that it is extremely safe and it is extremely necessary.
Safer than ibuprofen, they said, Paul.
It certainly is. That stuff caused me kidney problems, Coach. Ibuprofen. Yeah, you know that football injury kind of stuff. You take it, you take it, and take it. That's one of the worst drugs.
Wow. They don't tell you that, do they, folks, huh?
No. Nope.
They don't tell you that. Wow. Stuff, look, here's what I want you to understand. I'm kind of pumped up this morning. We're so winning. I need Craig. I don't know if Craig's in here today. Randy, I don't really want to get into it. I got to show you something else that's going on, folks. There's something to this staking and taking authority. Guys, remember when we salted the rivers? Remember when we did that? Kind of forgot that we did that, right? Remember we went around, we staked this U.S. Supreme Court? Guys, remember that we did that? Remember a lot of the things that, excuse me, hiccups this morning. Staking? Are you ready for this? Huh? Are you ready? Pull up number, excuse me. pull up, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? No. Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. Let me go back here. Is that where it is? No. Planned Parenthood's gone broke. Planned Parenthood. Where is it? Oh, number three. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Don't leave. Number three. At least 20 Planned Parenthood clinics have closed down. What? Yeah. Yeah. At least 20 of them have closed down. Now, you better ask yourself this. What were they doing with that money? Because they clearly were doing more than killing babies. Hey, Dr. Paul, again, you're a doctor. Help me out here. If somebody comes into your clinic, whatever, your office, you give them a bill, right? At the end of it, an office call, or whatever medicine you give them a bill, don't you, Paul?
Yeah, I don't do it the usual way.
No, but you do. Yeah. You right? Why is it when you go to Planned Parenthood? By the way, did you know you have to pay to go kill a baby? You don't got to pay something like $400 or $500 out of your own pocket to kill them, and yet Planned Parenthood is getting federal funding. And so when they pulled back when they said no more funding to Planned Parenthood, we found out it wasn't self-supportive. It's not the business. What's going on? They're not bringing in enough murder money to stay open. Because why? Because there's something far more nefarious going on at Planned Parenthood than we understand, folks.
It's gotten out of hand. Well, it's gotten out of hand, Coach.
Gotten out of hand. We ought to be staking Planned Parenthoods, boys and girls. We ought to be staking. Let me show you number four, and then I'm going to get into where I want to get into. Number four. Boy, I'm number four. You ready for this one? Hate to tell you this. The new world. No, is that it? Okay, that's all right. They're falling apart. You guys know that? Did you know that the new world order is falling apart? And could it be happening because on November 30th, look at that date. December 12th, 2023, we started praying against the New World Order. Klaus Schwab quit. Did you guys know that? Klaus Schwab, out of nowhere, quit. He quit. Just happenstance, I guess. Just happenstance. Okay, can I get into it now? I'll let you come in, but I just got some stuff. I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he did. I was reading today in the scriptures, pull up number, it says indolent. And I was reading through the Bible in Psalms, and all of a sudden the word indolent came up. I thought, indolent? Indolent. What's indolent? Because the Bible speaks against the indolent. I said, Lord, am I one of the indolent? Well, I don't know. What is indolent? Well, indolent is one who is adverse to activity. Vinny, that would be a boom. The American church is indolent. They're adverse to activity, effort, or movement, and habitually lazy. Would somebody out there just amen me so I know I'm not alone? Is that what we talk about? Is that what we talk about every day here? We are indolent. Indolent. We won't move. The church won't move. Yes, Mel, they've been trained that way. I'm not done yet. So I said, Lord, indolent. What is Rush Dooney? What does Rush Dooney say about the indolent? How many of you ever heard this preached? Indolent. Rush Dooney. Pull it up there. It says Rush Dooley. I'm waiting on it. Oh, wait. Hang on. Bunch of sloths. Yes, Steve. Can you get that, Spence? It says Rush. There you go. Okay, this is from Rush Dooney. You guys know who Rush Dooney is, right? If the church fails to disciple the nation will disciple the church. With me? Here's what Rush Dooney said. Freedom did not fail. We failed. Freedom requires work, character, responsibility, whereas the security system requires a slave master and a slave state. An old American principle was that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. That statement came originally from famed Irish orator and leader John Philpot Curran who in a speech of 1790 said this. This is what launched me this morning. It is the common fate of the indolent. I stopped there, Betty. Somebody help me out again. Who are the indolent? Who are the indolent? The ones who fail to act. For you to know to do good and not to do it to you, it is indolence. It's the common fate of the indolent to see their rights become a prey to the active. The condition upon which God hath given liberty to man is eternal vigilance, with which condition, if he break servitude, is at once the consequence of his crime and the punishment of his guilt. If you do not act, the consequence is crime and punishment. Few have said it as well as Curran. He was right. The choice is freedom or slavery. Either we make freedom and responsibility to keep it our way of life, or we will be enslaved to an all-powerful totalitarian state. Boom, somebody boom, Vinny, out there. You wake up this morning, Vinny. Boom, because we're indolent. We're indolent. Harry Blamire said, the modern Christian has succumbed to secularization. Oh, he accepts religion, its morality, its worship, its spiritual culture. But he rejects the religious view of life, the view which sets all earthly issues within the context of the eternal, the view which relates all human problems, social, political, cultural, to the doctrinal foundations of the Christian faith. The view which sees all things here below in terms of God being in charge and earth's transitoriness in terms of heaven and hell. In other words, the American Christian indolent church has permitted hell to rule over what's supposed to be heaven. Does anybody think I read that wrong? We have a government devoid of, is that a word, devoid? We have a government void of righteousness. No righteousness at all in our government. None. We elect unrighteous men and expect righteous men to do something. And you know what the worst part is? You know what the worst part of it is? It's the indolent Christians. Dale, I'm not talking to you, but it's the indolent pulpits that allow all of this stuff to go on. Somebody help me out. Somebody help me out here. Are Planned Parenthood's closing? Why are Planned Parenthood's closing? Because the church closed them? Oh, no. No, the church is indolent. It didn't close them. No. The church trusted Donald Trump, who they hate, to close them. And he did. He closed them. Church didn't. Abortion ought to be over right now, but it won't be over right now. Can somebody say that word other than me? Because the church is, come on. Make this part of your vocabulary.
Indolent.
You're indolent. You're indolent. You say, oh, coach, you just pulled that word out of nowhere. Did I really? Okay, hang on a minute. Hang on. I ain't done here. Pull up for me. I told you what Merriam-Webster was. Word up. Indolent in the Bible. Number the very first one. Indolent in the Bible. Do you guys know this? You ever heard that word before today? Indolent in the Bible. Look at the Bible references. Proverbs 6:61. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without a commander, without an overseer, a ruler, she prepares. And then it talks about, I'm not going to read it all. You can read it, the indolent. Idle hands. Yeah, there it is. This passage uses the industrious ant as a model for human behavior, warning that indolence leads to poverty and need. Folks, are you dependent on the government for everything? For your health care? Dependent on health? Oh, come on, right? Proverbs says, idle hands make one poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Here the contrast between diligence and indolence is stark. Proverbs 19:15, talking about indolence. There it is. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and an idle soul will suffer hang. This verse highlights the direct consequences of indolence. Ecclesiastes. Through indolence, the roof caves in. And in the hands of the idle, the house leaks.
Okay.
Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. And if anyone is unwilling to work, indolent. It's everywhere throughout the scriptures. Now, indolence is often seen as the failure to fulfill the God-given mandate to work and steward the earth. Would some? I'm feeling lonely this morning. Would somebody give me a boom? Would somebody give me a boom?
Thank you.
Boom.
And what are you doing? What are you? I'm talking to me now. I'm talking to me. What do I spend all my time praying that God will give me stuff? Come on, you can admit it. You can give me. Yeah, that's all right. You can do it. And he said, "Yeah, I'll give you a lot of good stuff. Do me a favor. Go stop that baby murder, will you? Would you do that? Would you go into those schools and stop them teaching? Stop teaching that homosex to the kids? You do that for me? Yeah, I'll go. Huh? Oh yeah, you reap what you sow. Indolence. Make that part of your vocabulary. I'm gonna say one more thing. I think. I gotta go here. Go number eight. No, yeah, number eight. You know God hates. Hey, you know God hates.
Boom.
When's the last sermon you heard in church on hate other than don't hate? The phrase perfect hatred appears in Psalm 139:20. I was going to read it. It's a long Psalm 139. It's really worth it. When he says, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. See, in biblical context, this phrase doesn't necessarily mean a personal, vengeful hatred towards individuals. It can be a complete and unwavering rejection of evil and wickedness, aligning with God and his righteousness. However, the Bible says that he hates all workers of iniquity. Did they tell you in your church you're not supposed to hate? God is love, 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 love. God hates. Hatred of evil. Not the person. In religious context, such as Christianity, perfect hatred is understood as a complete aversion to evil actions, sin, and anything that goes against God's will and holiness. If we think abortion is murder, why are we doing something about it? Because we're indolent. We're indolent. Zeal for the Lord. Hatred can be zeal for the Lord. It can be interpreted as zealous commitment to God. You have a zealous commitment to God? John Brockoff went and burned down, blew up abortion clinics, and all the Christian world attacked him. He wasn't indolent. He made sure nobody in that place was going to get hurt. And he went in there and he burned that place, bombed that place. And I'll bet this, despite what they've told you in your Presbyterian church, I bet the angels applauded. He wasn't indolent. He hated evil. Cost him 44 months, 28 months, something long. It cost him some time in jail. It didn't matter. He wasn't putting up with it. Aligning with God's hatred of sin. Some interpretations suggest that perfect hatred mirrors God's own hatred of sin. What? God hates sin? But he doesn't hate the sinner. God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, look, my opinion, Coach Dave Live, a worker of iniquity is not someone who sins. A worker of iniquity is someone who makes a lifestyle out of sin. And not only do they sin, they continue to try to get others involved in the sin. That would be the public schools, by the way. Yeah, that's right. Paul says Obama, Let me tell you something. You think God loves Obama? You think he does? And God loves Obama?
It says, I hate those who hate me.
So it says, brother. It says, he hates all liars, man. All liars. All liars. Look, here's all I'm trying to get you to say. See, understand. God is perfectly balanced. If God was just love, he would never discipline anybody. The Bible says whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And how does he discipline with love? He says, that's wrong, don't do it. That's wrong, don't do it. Stop that. You do that with your own children. And here we have the American church who told us what? Don't judge. Don't judge. Be kind. Love them, brother. I am. I'm going to love them. I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to love. Here's what I'm going to really love. I'm going to love my grandchildren and the innocence of my grandchildren more than I love that pervert at the library. Anybody disagree with that? You got to pick between the two. I'm going to love my grandkids more than that freak. All right, I'll shut up. I got more. Perfect hatred. Perfect hatred. I want to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. And he does hate. Come on, somebody, come on in here. Tell me how wrong I am.
I'll just go to Proverbs chapter 6, coach. There's six things the Lord hates. And yea, the seventh is an abomination to him. An abomination to him. He who sows discord. Yeah, what is exactly, coach?
Okay, hang on a second. Scott, Dale, thanks. I just reminded me of something. I'm on the wrong page. Keep talking, Dale. Spencer, pull up.
The sixth thing the Lord hates, yea, the seventh, an abomination, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run into evil mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and the last one, the abomination, he who sows discord among the brethren. Bill Shanks said it the best. He says, when you sow discord amongst the brethren, when you talk behind coach's back about him, the Amen. Bible says you're committing a spiritual abortion.
Woo-wee-woo-wee. And not only that, hey, not only that, Pastor Dale, they find other people that agree with him. Oh, yeah, and then they text back and forth. Or, you know, he shouldn't have done this. Or Mark shouldn't have said that. He who sows discord amongst the brethren. Wow. Betty.
Thanks, good Dale. Morning. Yep. Psalms 26:5. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked.
So there are evildoers, and there are the wicked. I thought we were all God's children. Folks, you see the lies to us? You see the lies? Pull up, where is it? Number 6. We know 10 things God hates. 10 things God hates. We got 7 right there in the Bible. Scroll down. Just real quickly. God is, I missed the top there, Spence. God is a person. Not in the sense that he's a man like us, but a person in that he has a personality. Do you ever think of it that way? God has a personality. Probably most likely to succeed. I think God's probably, he probably won that in the senior class, most likely to succeed. But here are things he loves and things that he hates. Now, if our highest calling is to become like Jesus, then it's imperative we know what he loves and what he hates. That his love and his hates become our loves and hates. With that in mind, here are 10 things God says he hates. Divorce. He said, sorry, I'm just a messenger. Hey, look at me. Divorce isn't the unpardonable sin. It isn't the unpardonable sin. But he hates divorce because it's a covenant that is broken. He hates it. Children are harmed by divorce. Maybe you're divorced. I'm not trying to bang you over the head. I want you to know this. He doesn't condemn you if you're divorced, but I want you to know he hates it. He really hates it. And you probably do too if you've had a divorce. Number 2, he hates pride, arrogance. He hates it. He hates it. And think of the culture. Think how we in the American culture, American society, how we idolize people. He hates lying. Yep. He hates it. Killing of the innocent. Is he opposed to soldiers in war? What is it? What's a just war theory? Maybe we need to get into that. The just war theory. Yeah. How about the people who took the vaccine? Fauci killed them. He killed them. God hates that man. Hey, aren't we supposed to love the things he loves and hate the things that he hates? Killing of the innocent, unborn children. God hate he. We can't even begin to understand how much he hates that. We can't even begin to understand. Little children created in the image of God, we kill them. And the church doesn't bark. Church doesn't. Church is indolent. Plotting to do evil. Being eager to do evil. I can't wait for the show's over so I can ask somebody about something somebody said here. You don't agree with that, do you? Oh, yeah. Hates those who sow discord amongst the brethren. He hates perjury, lying under oath. By the way, I think he hates perjury, period. It's not okay to lie if you're not under oath. You can lie to protect. We've been through that before. You can protect somebody with lying. Causing of discord in the family, church body, whatever. Hey, I didn't make these up. He hates religious hypocrisy. Yeah, he hates it. I'm sorry. What's a hypocrite? Anybody know? Look, Spencer, what did Mr. Webster say a hypocrite was? What did he say a hypocrite is? Me, how about this? I think a hypocrite would be me talking to me now. I'm against abortion and never do anything about it. I think that's hypocritic. One who acts to be what he is not. One who says he is pro-life but never goes to a clinic. Never does anything to stop it. He's a dissembler. One who assumes a false appearance. It's good, isn't it? Last one pulled up there. Religious hypocrisy. Wow. And those who love violence. God hates those things. That's what I said. When's the last sermon you heard in your church on things God hates, on hatred, on God hates? Hatred isn't wrong, friends. It's how we exercise the hatred. Not vengeful. Not vengeful. I want to get even. No. Vengeful in that that victim deserves justice. I hate that injustice that they did. I want justice. I hate that. What they did to that person. Dale.
So I didn't necessarily preach on what does God hate, but I made a clarity on John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That world word there is cosmos. See, we have been taught, oh, this must mean people. No. It was his creation that he loved, that he gave his life. And then I brought him to Romans chapter 8, that the Lord, he is waiting for the sons of God to manifest themselves. Because I've been preaching on what is your spiritual gift? What is your natural gift? What is your calling? Because, Coach, that right there, and you know what Rusty Thomas's son preached on Sunday, and it's crazy, he's down in Florida, was the same thing. Most people, Coach, and even in here, I'm just saying, these people have a desire, but they don't even know what they've been called to do. They need to ask, and then, okay, Coach, what is my calling? Don't ask me, ask God. Ask God, what is it that he has called me to do? And so the understanding is that the church has been taught that John 3:16 is talking about people, and it's not talking about people. It's talking about creation, and creation groans with the anticipation for the sons of God to manifest, which what? Reveal, get up off your butt and do something.
Amen. Dale, how can abortion possibly remain legal? And here's a better question.
In the words of Calzastro, saying you're pro-life will not rescue a baby. Rescuing a baby will rescue a baby.
Yes. Friends, they took our tax dollars and murdered babies. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, although I hope you do. You hear that from the pulpit at all? Ever? Ever? Innocent. Innocent. We're to protect the innocent. We are, you are, I am. Not the government, not the police department. Did you guys see, I don't know, maybe you can find it, Spencer. I was going to put it up here, but I didn't see how it would be appropriate. The white couple that was beaten in Cincinnati this last weekend. Have you guys seen that video? Spencer, see if you can find it. As the indolent stood around and watched it go on. It was the absolute opposite racial event. A white couple beaten by blacks. And people stood there and watched them do it to them. Heaven forbid if it had been the other way around. Have you guys seen this video? See if it's there. So people can see it. Hey, by the way, media ain't covering it. Media isn't covering it. Now watch this. These two, this husband and wife had gone downtown Cincinnati for, I don't know, a festival, something that was going on down there, whatever it was. And on the way home, what, there. Can you put sound up, Dale? Freeze it. I want you to start it again. Freeze it. And I want you to hear in the back, as it started again, Dale, or Spencer, I want you to hear in the back the cheering going on as they're getting their ass whooped. I want you to listen to the cheering that's going on. Can you imagine if this had been a white guy beating a black guy? Let the girls get involved here in a minute. Watch what's coming up, his wife, watch. She comes to try to rescue her husband. Watch what we look better. Yes, watch.
Oh, prepare now. Oh,
watch the blue girls.
Oh, my boy, drunk. Oh,
they cut it. She got sucker punched and knocked to the ground. People standing around filming it. Nobody intervening. And of course, the woman police chief. Yeah, you heard me right. Woman police chief in Cincinnati. Nobody called me. One person, 100 people there, one person called 911. One person called 911. Hey, friends, the rage inside America, apart from Christ, is beyond what we even understand. It is a tinder box. Come on in, Joe.
There's another case this weekend where a husband and wife was killed at a park. The wife, the guy came out of the bushes with a knife.
Mm.
Killed the probably man.
Probably deserved it. Probably some white guy deserved it.
Yeah.
You know, hey Joe, you know those white guys. They're all racist, right? Isn't that what the media tells you? All those white guys, they're all racist. Yeah, get a chance to beat up on one. Yeah, let's film it and cheer. And yeah, let's get even a little white.
The wife took the children back to the car, and then she went back after her husband, and she got killed by the same guy.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you got to have a full force multiplier with you.
Oh, Joe, you got to love them.
No.
Come on. You love them. Wow. I'm almost without words. Dale.
Yeah, Coach, and just shifting gears to the thing that happened up in Michigan. This is another thing I'm pointing out. Most kids are so engrafted in their phone. Those memes out there, if the Titanic happened today, all the people would be doing is videotaping while they're drowning. Look what happened in Michigan, right? So they have a person that's going around a stabbing rampage, right? And everybody around except for one black guy pulls out his gun and keeps him. But everybody else, they were videotaping. That's all they do with their phones, videotaping somebody stabbing other people. This is what we have become, Coach. Same thing with this riot. And let me tell you what, I've experienced this down in Mardi Gras selling pizzas, trying to do this. I'm just telling you that when I would see a crowd of black people coming towards me, I would pack up and get inside my car and lock the doors because I already knew what was coming.
That's right, because they've convinced them that revenge is okay because our ancestors were white and held their ancestors as slaves. So I'm supposed to pay for it. My grandchildren are supposed to pay for it. Let me switch gears real quick. Mark, are you out there? I'm sorry. Craig, are you out there, Craig? I know Craig's always out there.
Yeah, I'm getting ready. I'm listening in the background. So Craig,
real quickly, Craig, Randy, whoever wants to pipe in, we have to do more of this active on the street ministry. Talk to us a little bit, Craig. You sent me a tremendous email text yesterday. Just a little rerun of some of the stuff that we've done and how effective it's been. Can you do that off the cuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing I sent you, it really has to do with COP 28. Okay. So this is the unity of Christ in agreement with the things that God hates. All right. If you can do that, then God's going to move. Right. So COP 28 is when they always would go. It's the, when they would go for the climate accords right now. Obama signed us into the Paris ones, right? Trump broke it. So anyways, this was, I think, back in 2023. Pope Francis was supposed to go there, and Charles was supposed to go there. King Charles has always been a real big proponent of this, right? He was going to use this as the hammer to bring the New World Order in. Well, if you remember, there was a big, big, huge snowstorm. You know, planes were tilted on the back with snow. Francis was sick. Prince Charles, he was prince at the time, I think it was, or no, he was king actually, and there was some sort of big racial thing that went in, you know, and so it never took off, you know. And what I'm just trying to say is I wrote that prayer of resistance. I sent it to Mel published it, and we prayed that. Okay. We prayed that as a group on the show, right? So some of these actions that we've done on this show in agreement of one accord, okay, have tugged on the heartstrings of the Lord, and I think you can see the reaction of it. Now, just recently, the reason I sent that was because there's some sort of gay scandal going on in the House of Buckingham's over there in England, right now. There's this big gay thing going on.
The prince is gay.
Right. So what I'm just trying to say is, you know, the Lord has a unique way of operating in this realm, and if you are just in prayer of the things that the Lord hates and doesn't want to see come to fruition, then the Lord will intervene.
So in other words, Craig, we're taught there's a sin of commission and the sin of omission, which would be indolence, right? Indolence. Knowing that we had to do something and not doing it is a sin. Excuse me. When are we going to get that? When are we going to understand that, church? We're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world, and it's our obligation to war against, that is the word they use, isn't it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a war. It's a spiritual war, and we're indolent. We're not even, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking in general. We won't even get involved. I wonder how many of you just, I'm tap you on the shoulder right now. How many of you watching this right now who are here right now will this weekend, sometime this week, I'm thinking, don't have Alzheimer's anymore, get four or five people and go stake something? Have you staked your house? Have you prayer walked your church? Have you prayer walked your city council? How many people do that? Are you going to be indolent? Yeah, well, somebody else will do it.
Hey, Coach, can I just jump in? If you do this, please take pictures. Send to me, because I'm going to be building a wall, a picture wall, on the website of Calling to the People, where I'm going to post all these pictures.
That's so you.
That's all right. That's all.
Yeah. If you go, take a picture. Take a picture of the church. Take a picture of you in front of the doorsteps. You know, okay. Hey, what did Martin Luther do back in 1517? He took a piece of paper with 95 issues, and he stuck it to the door, right?
Yep, here we are.
feel free to put that prayer on the door of the church. Say, hey, I prayed for this prayer over your church. Amen. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do this. You're doing it in the kindness of your heart, and then let the Lord do the rest. That's all you got to do. Take a picture of it.
We're indolent in that we think that the Lord will do what he's called us to do. That's indolence. He's called us to do something, and we don't do it. Why? There's a lot of reasons why. Say, well, Coach, nobody ever told me that. I know. I understand. I know. But we've told you now. Are you staking, praying over your children's bedrooms? Are you praying over staking their car? Are we taking authority over all these dark, potentially dark places where the enemy wants to enter? Are you doing that? And why can't we get that message out to the world? Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. I have to tell you, so yesterday I'm listening to the show and I walk around the city and I picked up four rocks, stones, and I wrote Psalm 45:10 on them. And I was going to go do my church. I haven't been attending the church for a couple of months. I've called the pastor. We were good friends, and yet he wouldn't return my call. And so finally, you know, I just left him a message, you know, if I did something wrong, if I offended you, how can I get better if you don't call me back? I mean, you know, what is it? So needless to say, he called, left a message. Oh, no, I've just been too busy. Okay, three times, that's it. So anyway, yesterday, as I'm driving home from my walk, I got my stones in my pocket, and the Holy Spirit said, stop and stake the church. And naturally, I said, I don't want to. I'm all by myself. I don't have anybody with me. But I turned in, and I got out, and as I'm going around the property, who walks out of the church? The pastor.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, hi. I said, hi, John. Good morning. And he said, you know, we really need to talk. I said, yeah, okay. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm staking the church. I'm reclaiming it for Christ. So there's a great shaking going on. See, I have my stone, Psalm 45:10. And he said, oh, that was the message on Sunday. I said, oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. Love, 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 you know, be still and know that I am God. But anyway, so I finished staking. I got in the car and I just said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for making me obedient. Because what are the chances of him I didn't even recognize this car, so I thought it was the secretary. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, everybody, for just, you know, pressing on. And
stop being indolent. Stop it. Get involved. See you tomorrow.